on the haircut. We have a little technical problem with the mic, but I think we'll be rolling. Apologize. We can start with Bill Rabinowitz. Okay, you're going to open that mic and let Bill go.
I'm Marcus Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch. Congratulations on reaching the championship game. I know you guys really pride yourselves on playing man-to-man press coverage. Ohio State's obviously got really good receivers. What's the challenge there? And I'm not expecting you to give the game plan up, but how inclined are you to stick with that versus changing a little bit?
Yeah, as you watch film, not many teams are successful just sitting in man coverage versus these receivers. So we'll obviously have to mix some things up and come up with a great plan to try to limit what they do in the passing game. You're not going to be able to stop the receivers totally. They're a talented bunch. And so we'll come up with a plan and be able to adapt and adjust based off what's going on in the game.
Great. Next we'll go to Dan Hope. Dan?
Hey, Marcus, just does this feel like a full circle moment for you to be coaching against Ohio State in the national championship game?
In terms of this season, so from where we started to, the start of A&M and, the loss to Northern Illinois to now you're saying we're getting ready to play for the national championship. Yeah, it's full circle. This has nothing to do with the past and where I went to school. This is about this opportunity that lies right ahead of us.
Next we'll go to Pete Sampson. Pete?
Marcus, just some housekeeping. Anthony Knapp, Rocco Spindler, how do you anticipate them coming through this week, and would you give any consideration to if Charles Jagasa is an option either at tackle or guard or only at guard moving forward?
Yeah, Knapp will miss this game. He had a high ankle sprain and won't be able to make it back. But we expect Rocco to be able to, we'll see how he progresses this week of practice. I know he'll give everything he has into making sure he's prepared. As far as the starting lineup, we'll do what's best for our program, and we got to figure that out. We have a week of preparation to make sure we get the right guys to start this game, and we'll see what that is here in the next couple of days.
Hey, next we'll go to Tim Prister. Tim?
Coach, obviously the Ohio State defense has been stout all year, but when teams have had success against them, specifically, where have they been able to make inroads? What have they done?
Well, I think each team can be different. For us, we have to be able to run the football, and we got to find ways to do that. And at the end of the day, you're going to study teams that have had success against your opponent, but you still have to do what your team does well. And again, for us to have success, we're going to have to be able to run the ball, and we're going to have to be able to stop the run. And obviously you know me well enough, Tim. I've said that for every game we play. But it won't be any different for this game.
Eric Hansen, next.
Hey, Coach. I wanted to follow up on Jagasa. A guy that's missed a ton of practice in 2 years at Notre Dame and yet has played in some hugely consequential games and played well for you. Can you speak to that and how he's able to do that? And also the flu, do you feel like that's run its course with your team, that it's not a factor anymore?
Yes, as far as Jagasa, again, unfortunate injury that occurred in fall camp. But he worked his way back, and you know what, in the past few weeks or maybe the last month, he's just been practicing and preparing. If he did get an opportunity, he didn't know if he would or not. And he went out there and did an unbelievable job, did a great job, just like we thought he would. So credit to him, Coach Rudolph, for being ready for when his number was called, and then he went out and executed at a high level. So it speaks volumes to him and his preparation. As far as the flu, I'm sure every school, Ohio State's probably dealing with it too. Like, it's a virus that has really, I think probably over half of our team has gotten it already. So I don't think it will have an impact on this week's game.
What, you might? What, a Heather Dinich next? Heather?
Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you, now that you've gotten to this point in the bracket, what your overall feedback is on the 12-team playoff, from ranking to seeding, as Notre Dame, as an independent, to where you are now. I mean, to the toll it takes. Everybody's getting banged up. What are your thoughts on the start to finish 12-team playoff this year?
Yeah, I think maybe after this thing's over, I can give you a better opinion of my overall thoughts. Right now, you're just so lost into preparation for each week. And, you know, we're getting ready for our 16th game. And you know what? Like, there's some injuries, there's some guys healthy. That's the part of football. And my focus has really been to say, okay, what can we do to prepare in a way to execute as well as we can when it matters the most? But I have not spent a lot of time thinking about my overall thoughts of the playoffs. I'm just trying to get this team ready to win, and that's what I'm going to continue to focus on.
Thanks, Norbert. Tyler Horka. Tyler?
Hey, Coach, kind of a role reversal this time. You got to watch your future opponent last week. Obviously, that was already set, and you guys were the team that Penn State was watching. I'm curious what you got out of maybe watching the Cotton Bowl, being able to watch that in real time.
You know, you don't get many schematic things out of watching on TV. You obviously can see playmakers, you can see big plays, and that was evident in that game. But, you know, you have to go back, you got to watch, you got to really evaluate the coach's copy of the film to look at schematically how you want to prepare for this game. But I saw some guys on both sides, but specifically Ohio State's side, making really big plays on offense and defense, and they have playmakers all across the board. And so we know it's going to be a challenge, but we look forward to it.
Great. All right. Coach, next will be Brandon Marcello. Brandon?
Marcus, congratulations on the season so far, and good luck this week. I was wondering, what are your favorite memories you have with James Laurinaitis over the years, your playing years, and even these days?
I think, you know, there's so many moments when you play together, but, you know, he was in my wedding and I was in his wedding. Those are special moments, obviously, the days you get married. But we had some great moments when we worked together here at Notre Dame. You know, it's a unique situation where, you know, a guy you're working with is one of your best friends. And so we got a lot of great moments, and probably some that I won't share on this press conference, but he's a great friend.
All right, now we'll go to Jack Sobel. Jack? Jack, are you with us there? All right. We'll try to come back, Jack. Let's go to Anna Grace Bridges.
Hey, Coach. So after the good win in the Orange Bowl, you said that great people continue to get opportunities to lead young men like this. And it's not just about you, but it's about us. So watching your interviews of not just you, but your team, y'all just created this amazing culture of not just individual success, but the team success. So as a head coach, what are you doing to keep that momentum carried over to the national championship game?
That mentality has got us to this point. It's every person in this program putting this football program in front of itself. And that's what we continue to do and we demand of each other, is that, you know, everybody outside of this football program will find ways to give individual glory or individual praise or whatever it is. But we know inside this building that every person has a vital role for us achieving the results that we have. And that's what it's going to be as we prepare for this game. Your roles will be determined as we get in, you know, finished with prep here soon, and we need you to execute your role, whatever that role is, to the best you can, to make sure that we can achieve the results that we want, and that's what we'll continue to preach.
Next we'll go to Nick Hamilton. Nick?
Hey, Coach. First of all, congratulations on just making it to the national championship game. For you specifically, being in Atlanta, the coaching for a national title, being one of the black coaches to do that during Dr. King's observance of his birthday, what does that mean for you just to be in that moment with that, as well as, you know, being a black head coach? Do you feel like it gives opportunities for other coordinators and position coaches to have this opportunity when given?
I sure hope so. I hope that you know, somebody gives the right person an opportunity. I was given an opportunity by our former athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, and Father John Jenkins. They made the decision to give me an opportunity. And what I continue to hope is that, you know, people get opportunities based off their actions and not the color of their skin. And that doesn't point to just one group of people. But that's that we want to make sure we continue to give the right people opportunities to lead our young people. And I believe in that. And I hope if this me being a black and Asian head coach in the college football national championship gives others that opportunity, and that's awesome. Now, I've always said this. I don't want this to be about me. I want this to be about others and about others getting opportunity, about our team. As far as playing in the national championship game on MLK Day, to me, the attention should be on MLK Day and what he did for our country and the progress he made for equal rights and for progress for all people. The courage he had as an individual to stand for what he believes in. And that was with his words and his actions. And so this Martin Luther King is about celebrating, Martin Luther King Day is about celebrating that man and the impacts he's made on our country.
Thank you, Coach. Let's try Jack Sobel again. Jack, let's see if we've got this ironed out.
Hey, Coach Freeman. Hey, Coach Freeman, you got me? My internet cut out. I sincerely apologize for that. So I wanted to ask you about something that J-Love said after the Penn State game. He said that you guys wanted Ohio State, that you feel like you should have won that game last year, and he didn't. Like, how much is that going to be a motivating factor entering this one?
If you need that to motivate you to get ready for this game, then you're not the right person. And that's the reality. We don't need motivation to be prepared for this game. We got a chance of playing a national championship game. This isn't about the past. This is about this opportunity we have right in front of us, and we'll continue to focus on this opportunity right in front of us. If there's learning opportunities from other games or previous games, absolutely we're going to use them. Right? If it's going to help us be more prepared for what could happen in this game, we're definitely going to use it, but it isn't for motivation at all.
All right, let's go to Eric Olson. Eric?
Sorry. You mentioned the offensive linemen. I wanted to check and see just if there's any limitations on Love and Collins. Obviously, a pretty good list of injuries right now for everybody.
No, Jay Love is good to go. Jay Love will be full go. And Bo's still healing from him. He has calf strain, and so he'll work back into practice here in the next couple of days. But I hope that as long as he progresses, he'll be good to go for the game. But we got to make sure that he progresses as we go through this week.
Now we'll go to Brian Driscoll. Brian?
what led to that kind of improvement in the second half, and are there things that you think can kind of carry into, I know you hope to, but can carry into to the game against Ohio State?
Yeah, I think we're talking about two really good defenses that we faced, two of the best in the country, as this one we're going to face this week will be two. It's a game of adjustments and a game of, you know, taking care of the football and taking advantage of the opportunities that are presented. And that's what we did versus Georgia. Right? We took care of the football, and we took advantage of opportunities that were presented, and found tough, gritty ways to get first downs. Penn State early in the game was giving us some unique looks and probably were running the ball into some difficult looks that we hadn't seen going into the game, but we had to make some adjustments. And that's what this game's going to be about is, okay, everybody's going to have a plan going in. How do you make adjustments? How do you find a way to get the tough yardage that you need to get a first down and keep the sticks moving and, you know, take care of the football? We got to do it. We didn't do a great job of that versus Penn State, and that's probably one of the couple reasons that the game was really close. We got to take care of the football, and we got to find ways to run the ball.
We have time for just a couple more. Let's go to Christopher Heidel. Christopher? Okay, why don't we try Mike Berardino? Mike, you there? You need to unmute.
All right, unmuted. I didn't see that button. Hello, Marcus. After the game, Riley said a couple of times, Riley Leonard, that he felt a little wobbly. In that scenario, I wondered, how does the protocol work for you guys with the in-game cognitive testing? Who exactly has that great responsibility to sign off on a player's return to play in-game? And how is that process different, if at all, in a CFP scenario? Is there anybody independent of each program who's there to sign off?
I don't know. There's nothing different with a CFP game. We have a medical professional team of athletic trainers and doctors that will do a thorough evaluation of our players when they think they have a concussion. The health and safety of our players are more important than anything, and I want to make sure that's clear. And so they would never put a player at risk if they did not think he was physically ready to play in a game. And they made the decision after a thorough evaluation that he was okay to return to the game. And so that's, you have to trust your doctors. And there's times that they say a player's not available to come back into the game. And you got to trust your doctors. And so we have professionals that handle the evaluation, and they felt like Riley was good to return to play.
And our final question today will come from Matt Fortuna. Matt?
Hi, Marcus. I know you don't want to make this about yourself, so I'll frame the question this way. What do you think a national championship would mean for the University of Notre Dame and for your players and their legacy?
It would be something special. Obviously, this place hasn't won a national championship since 1988, and in every year, the aspirations are to win a national championship. That's why all these players choose to come to Notre Dame. One of the reasons is to be a part of a program that can win a national championship. And so I think it's something that they'll be able to say for the rest of their lives, is that they were a part of a national championship football team. And so there's a lot of work that goes into getting to that outcome, and that's what we got to focus on. But it would be special for this university and for these players that have poured so much work into getting the results that we have.
Thank you very much, Coach Freeman. We look forward to seeing you in Atlanta here on Friday night.
All right. Thank you.